Welcome to another edition of the All Elite Marks podcast. We've got a big show lined up for you tonight, guys. We've got the Triple Threat segment with Logan Frazier and Georgia Indy Reports. Rodney West will be on the line with us. We've also got Chicks Dig Turnbuckles. And we've got the headlines coming up next on the All Elite Marks podcast. Enjoy.
This is Rodney West with the Georgia Indy Report, and it is now time to reveal this week's Georgia Indy Report Spotlight Wrestler of the Week, and it is none other than the Prince of Petty, Ashton Starr. Ashton Starr is one of the most over baby faces in Southern Honor Wrestling, as well as being a prominent figure in many other Georgia wrestling promotions.
Hello, this is Logan Frazier with your wrestling headlines for this week. First up we have Vince McMahon refuses to release Dolph Ziggler from WWE contract. Says according to Body Slam Net, Vince McMahon and Dolph Ziggler had a deal where Ziggler would return and work pay-per-views until SummerSlam 2019, with the Raw after SummerSlam being his final date. However, it's not turning out to be the case. Body Slam is reporting that Vince is refusing to let Ziggler from his contract and is open to just paying Ziggler the contracted money while he sits at home. It says on Monday, prior to Raw, Dolph approached Vince McMahon to thank him. However, it was then that Vince told Dolph that he could not let him out of his deal and that he would rather just pay him to stay at home. This is something in the business that has happened several times with wrestlers. It's really just paying them to keep them off TV so they're not on Raw one night and then another television show the next week. Kind of happened with the Rick Rude incident from years back where he was on a pay-per-view one night and on Monday Nitro next. So, next headline is Paige underwent another neck surgery this week. This is not regarded as an attempt to return to in-ring action, but as an improvement to the quality of her life. It was considered a great success, and she's already at home resting and healing up. Next headline is China's mother threatens legal action over upcoming TV show on her passing. The mother of WWE Hall of Famer China took to Facebook this week and spoke out about upcoming Reels show that promises to reveal the truth on the 2016 death of the former WWE Women's Champion. China's death will be covered on an August 25th episode of Autopsy, The Last Hours Of, on the Reels channel. The episode premieres at 10 p.m. Eastern Time following an episode on the death of former NFL player Aaron Hernandez and will be replayed on Monday, August 26th at 1 a.m. There's a line, and maybe this is just the way I feel, but there's a certain amount of privacy that people should have, even though they're in the public eye, and, you know, there's a lot of rumors and innuendo over that anyway. Some say that she was clean and fell off the bandwagon. Some people say she never got clean. I don't know. I don't know what the story is. I would think that with her mother trying to stop it, that there's probably an untold story there. I guess we'll see how that plays out. Next up is Tennille Dashwood signs contract with Impact Wrestling. For those that don't know her by that name, she's former WWE performer that went by the name of Emma. Now I guess everyone holds their breath until they give us Tennille Dashwood versus Tessa Blanchard, because, I mean, let's be real, that's the only thing that anybody cares about in this story. Next up is WWE announces newest class of Performance Center signees. Now, there's a long list in these. The biggest ones, of course, being Austin Theory, the former Evolve champion. current Evolve champion. He's also the WWN champion. So I'm not sure how that'll play out, but with him joining the Performance Center as a signee. Also, Santana Garrett, a lot of people remember her from Impact Wrestling. She was also a part of the 2017 Mae Young Classic, where she was eliminated in the first round by Piper Niven. And also, the other big name would be Kendo Cashin, that has signed as a trainer. And he's had runs in both New Japan and All-Pro, having won both their junior heavyweight titles, and he's mostly worked independent promotions in the most recent years. The list of other ones are Tahuti Niles, who had previous tryouts the past couple of years. EJ, and excuse me if I mispronounce this, Nadunkin, who played in the CFL, IFL, and AFL, and has also become a champion bodybuilder. Alexander Jasic, who has trained under Santina Marella and Alex Wright. He's been wrestling in Germany under the name Alex Ken. Brianna Brandy, a hip-hop artist, sounds like a interesting choice, who has toured with Soulja Boy and Jadakiss in the past and is also a boxing trainer. Rita Reese, a jiu-jitsu world champion. Marcos Gomez, a Brazilian who has also trained in jiu-jitsu but also instructs Muay Thai. And the last one is Catalina Garcia, Chilean, who has wrestled under the name Jesse in the independent scene for promotions such as Revolution Lucha Libre and Calandestino. So there's your announcement of this year's class at the Performance Center. Okay, so our last headline for today is Cody Rhodes claims that AEW has only revealed 40% of their talent roster. Cody Rhodes had an interesting exchange with a fan online about a talent roster that All Elite Wrestling has. It all started when Rhodes responded to a fan who thought that the promotion missed the chance to sign Goldberg. This is where Rhodes noted that they have only revealed 40% of their roster. He wrote the following: "We want or have modern wrestlers, big ones at that. No disrespect intended to the heritage and those who have paved the road in 2019. Rhodes later added, "We've revealed about 40% of the roster. Sometimes it's better to let the painter paint and then judge the picture." So, I find that really interesting. It really helps me believe that this TV show is going to be a definite success because, you know, they've done all these pay-per-views and the hype, and you think they're carrying just the people that you've seen into this TV show, but in all actuality, they have about 60% more than these people that they haven't told you about. So that's really interesting. And of course, this past week, they revealed that they had signed Orange Cassidy, which a lot of people have mixed feelings about. A lot of people on our page have mixed feelings about. But you can't deny that he has talent in what he does and what he is. So that's apparently just the tip of the iceberg of what's coming. So, be great to see how all that plays out. And that is your headlines for this week with All Elite Marks.
Hey guys, don't forget to check out the Old School Podcast with me and the Professor Andrew Stone. We go over old school events, NWA, Jim Crockett Promotions, WCW, and this week we've got a really good one, Clash of the Champions 4, Road Warrior Animal against Dusty Rhodes. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned and stay plugged into the page.
This is Logan Frazier, and you're listening to All Elite Marks Podcast Network, your source for Georgia's news, rumors, and innuendos.
What is up, everyone? Yep, it's the day after SummerSlam, and you know what that means. We finally was able to crown WWE Fantasy Champion in the finals of the tournament. And guess who won? Me. Yeah, that is I, the champion now. Finally, I take my place on top of All Elite Marks. Thanks to JR for an awesome matchup. Very close. Very close every time we come together. Every time we match up, very close. But hey, I told everyone, this is my time. This is my destiny. And I backed up my talk. I did what I said I was going to do. I did it. I am champion now. Yes. Thank you to all that supported me. I want to let you guys know, fire promos on the way. Yeah, champion out.
Is the triple threat.
There's gonna be a triple threat.
Triple threat match.
Alright, welcome back to the triple threat segment on the All Elite Marks podcast. I've got on one line Rodney West from the Georgia Indy Report. How are you doing tonight, Rodney?
Doing great tonight, Trey.
Awesome. We're gonna keep trying to reach right here. First of all, we've had a lot happen this week. Of course, SummerSlam is in the books, and we watched that one actually together. And I overall thoughts on SummerSlam for me, I thought it was a pretty decent show. Nothing really spectacular. It was lacking that surprise feel for me. Usually there's something big that comes out of SummerSlam. There wasn't a lot that really just kind of, oh man, that's crazy. Like Orton cashing in or Undertaker coming out at the end of a match or there's always some kind of surprise ending, and there was nothing there for me. It was just Seth going over Brock, which was a good match. Don't get me wrong. Every match on the card was good. Just about, maybe besides Bayley and Amber. I guess Amber Moon was probably my least favorite. But thanks for joining us, Logan. We got Logan on the other line. Logan, how you doing tonight?
Doing great, man.
I was just going over SummerSlam and kind of my thoughts real quick on it, but that's why we got the Triple Threat segment here tonight, and we're going to get your thoughts. And we'll go ahead and start with Rodney. Rodney, what was your overall thoughts of SummerSlam, and where does WWE go from here, and do they set things up the way you liked it?
For the most part, yes. I liked every match except Randy Orton versus Kofi Kingston. Halfway through the match, I could tell like there was going to not be a finish because there was no logical ending, and then the double count out was kind of, I don't know, lackluster. I mean, to have a non-finish at one of your biggest shows of the year in a match that I didn't really have anything invested in anyway. I didn't like the story about, Kofi being jilted, you know, like 10 years ago. It's kind of like, okay, well, that's not that big of a deal. I'm not a huge fan of Randy Orton anyway. So I could be a little biased in that respect. I actually did like the Bayley versus Ember Moon match. It wasn't great, but it was decent. Overall, I liked the show. I thought the Seth Rollins Brock Lesnar match was a really good match. I thought Brock Lesnar showed more than he normally does in matches, and Seth Rollins overcoming everything, and that frog splash onto the table on the outside was a spectacular spot. And then I loved Bray Wyatt versus Finn Balor match. I thought it really was a great debut for that character.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty great too. I think I'd made the comment
The only way they mess this up is if, you know, Finn, of course, gets the win, or Finn even looks really strong. You need to just, you know, just let Bray go.
Right. He had moments, but I thought that
at the same time, they made Bray look really strong.
Yeah, Bray looked really strong in that match. And I like the finisher being the mandible claw.
Yeah, I like how he got that on him as well. Logan, what's your overall thoughts on SummerSlam, and kind of where do you see them going from here?
Well, have a little bit of a different opinion than honestly most people I've heard. I don't particularly, whereas I think that the matches were good, I don't think they were SummerSlam caliber matches. To me, it was just another pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were rushed storylines. Some of them weren't even, you know, all together there. I mean, they tried to get the Roman Reigns thing together, and that didn't work out. And, you know, the Bayley Ember Moon, I didn't care for that because it was, oh, you know, you've never got to play with me, you know, come play with me. I mean, it just didn't work for me at all.
Yeah.
I will say that the Charlotte and Trish match was pretty good. I wish there would have been
better than I thought it would be.
Yeah. I wish there would have been a little bit better of a build-up. I was actually surprised at the Seth and Brock match because it was actually a lot more physical than I thought it would be, because I honestly thought it was just going to be, you know, a rollover on whichever one come out on it, you know?
Right.
And there was a good bit of back and forth, you know, even with, you know, Seth playing hurt, which I thought was ridiculous. You know, he comes out, he can't hardly move. He's being, you know, thrown around like a rag doll. After he wins the championship, he's raising his arms and he's, you know, like nothing is wrong.
Didn't really sell the ribs really well. Yeah. Well, let me just ask this, and this is not in my notes, but what do you guys see? Because sometimes you start to see hints, even at SummerSlam, as early as SummerSlam, to what they might be doing for Mania next year. We'll start with you, Rodney. What would you like to see for the main event of the next WrestleMania?
Ultimately, I'd like to see, especially at least for the Raw main event, I'd like to see the club keep building up bigger and bigger, and or OC is whatever they're called now. And I'd like to see an AJ versus Seth Rollins main event at WrestleMania next year.
I would like to see that too. That's kind of what I'm kind of leaning at. Logan, what do you want to see for the main event of next year's WrestleMania?
Well, it's not that I necessarily want to see this, but there was a few seeds planted with AJ saying, you know, that he only faced Brock Lesnar one time and he only got one chance at him, and Seth got several. And, you know, him throwing that out there, I kind of wonder if that was some of those seeds that's being planted, whether it be, you know, a combination of AJ, Seth, or Brock. And I really don't know where they're going to go with Brock from here. I mean,
that's what I was going to, that was my follow-up question is what do you do with a Brock Lesnar now that he's been defeated clean by Seth Rollins? What do you really do with Brock from here? I think I've got a good idea of what they're probably going to do with Brock. I would guess they're going to somehow move him over to SmackDown and have him take the title off Kofi because of the Fox deal. If I was just, you know, if I was just guessing and just, you know, talking to Rodney, you know, that's a pretty good possibility. What do you do with Brock, Rodney, now that he's lost clean to Seth Rollins?
Well, I definitely just, I mean, I think Fox wants him on SmackDown starting in October. So you move him over there. I think they want to do the champion. So at some point in the next 2 months, you've got to introduce him over to SmackDown and find a way for him to challenge Kofi for the belt.
Yeah. I mean, I see that probably being the person to take the belt off Kofi, because they're trying to book Kofi super strong, but I feel like it's going to be somebody people least expect. And I don't think anybody's really expecting a Brock to move over to SmackDown, unless you're really just kind of keeping up with the whole Fox deal. So yeah, I see them possibly put him over there. He needs kind of a fresh start anyways.
I think one of the benefits of moving Brock to SmackDown could be you could elevate Braun Strowman again.
Absolutely.
I think they had too many giants on Raw, and having Brock mm-hmm. go to SmackDown, it kind of opens up a spot for Braun to kind of become one of the top giants on that brand again.
Yeah, I kind of like that idea. I'd like to see Brock on SmackDown. Plus, they don't really, like you said, they don't really have a monster character other than maybe if you consider a Samoa Joe, which is, he's just more of like a badass. He's not really a monster character, I guess. Let's move on to this deal that was announced earlier this week. NXT is coming to Fox Sports 1 on Wednesday nights. It's going to go to 2 hours. And from what reports say, Vince McMahon will have a lot to do with this. Okay, guys, so we have AEW on Wednesday nights on TNT, and now we have NXT on Wednesday nights on Fox Sports 1. So we have our Wednesday night wars instead of our Monday night wars. The question I want to ask is, how will NXT be affected by this? Will it kind of be watered down now? And with it competing against AEW, who do you see coming out the better end of the deal on this? We'll start with you, Logan.
Well, first of all, you're definitely going to have more people, I think, tuning in for AEW. It's new, and there's also the option of watching NXT later on in the app.
On the network, yeah. And most of the time it's taped, too.
And I kind of have my suspicions that they'll probably do something similar to the deal that they do with Raw and SmackDown, where, you know, it's a 3-week lag of showing up on the network because, you know, they have this deal with Hulu where it shows up the next day on Hulu, and they get 3 weeks of having that episode until it rolls over to the network. And I kind of feel like NXT will probably do the same thing now that this is the case, to try to force you to say, hey, you know, you got to watch this instead of AEW because it's going to be 3 weeks before you can catch up type thing. And
it seems to be some kind of counter programming, like, okay, well, if you like indie, well, we've got a super indie here. It's, you know, maybe we're not presenting it like a AAA organization. This is a super indie and it can compete with AEW. We've got just as much good talent as AEW and our production is just as good. So it's very interesting. Definitely. Go ahead, Logan, finish your thoughts.
I just don't think it's a good idea. I mean, there's so many people that's hungry for a good product right now, that I really think that there's enough time to go around. I mean, but if you really think about it, your diehard fans, your people like us that, you know, watch just about everything that's available. I mean, mm-hmm. talking 3 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Tuesday. Now you're going to have 4 hours on Wednesday. And I mean,
that's a lot of wrestling.
It's a lot of wrestling. And then, yeah. You know, if you throw in, you throw in, you know, the few indie shows that we go to on top of it, And then anything that we watch on the network or, you know, whatever, you know, if a video's put on the site that, you know, we watch or something like that. I mean, you're talking about, you know, out of 7 days, you're watching 2 full days of wrestling a week.
Yeah, you're almost causing the audience to have to really choose what they want because their time is so limited. I mean, I know I don't have time to watch NXT UK, and I wish I did. There are a lot that there's a lot of stuff out there that I'd like to watch. I just simply don't have the time to watch every wrestling show that's out there. And WWE puts out a ton of content. Rodney, how do you see this affecting the NXT product, and how do you see it competing against AEW?
Well, I actually think that they'll probably take some extra talent that's not being utilized effectively on Raw and SmackDown and move them down. Maybe not down. I think they're going to elevate NXT to a third brand that's equal to Raw and SmackDown. So you maybe see like stars like Cesaro, maybe Nakamura. We'll get moved over to NXT to elevate that brand, to make them a legitimate third brand in the eyes of the wrestling fans. And TNT right
That'll
now
make for an interesting show.
TNT's executives and their advertisers are only expecting the ratings to be around a 0.4 when they debut in October. So I could easily see NXT with some enhanced talent beating them, at least in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. It'll bring me back to when I was a kid and I was switching from channel to channel. But, of course, if AEW's got me hooked, I'll just go back and watch the NXT show at a later date. Well, all right, guys.
Of a DVR, too, which is how I watch
That works, too. All right, guys, before we end this segment on the Triple Threat segment, it was just announced today at All Out that Loco, or Logan Frazier, as we know you, will be battling the guy you're on the line with, JC Vengeance, the leader of Knights of Vengeance, and, of course, you're the leader of the Funhouse. And it was also announced you could be moving up the ladder to a number one contender spot. Guys, let's hash this out. We've talked about it on the page. Rodney feels you laugh a little too much. You don't feel like Rodney knows what he's talking about. any comments, Loco, before you go into your fantasy matchup in a couple of weeks?
Well, first of all, unless there's a mask on, I am not Loco. Loco is the mask.
Okay.
I am just simply Logan Frazier, the wrestling fan, until the mask goes on.
I see.
Then I have no control over or what is said, what is done. I see after the fact what has happened. Otherwise, I have no control over it.
It would be kind of a scary thing if Loco were to get the belt. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Because the thing about it is, you know, with the mask being what controls me and I have no control over it, he would feel, I would think, like he would have to be a part of me at all times because he would want to carry the belt all the time.
I see. JC Vengeance, what do you think about this? Are you buying this split personality stuff, what are your comments on this? What are your thoughts?
You know, I can't get into the head of Loco or Logan. I can't differentiate between the two. All I know is before he gets that number one title shot against our champion, the champion of All Elite Marks is in the Knights of Vengeance. And I just have to add that we've added a new member today, the Queen of Vengeance. So, I mean, we're getting stronger by the day.
Oh, wait a minute. And who's the Queen of Vengeance? Wait a minute.
Well, if you've been following, it'll probably be announced in the next day or so. But Bella Rose is the Queen of Vengeance, and she will be making her debut very shortly.
Oh my gosh, more Knights of Vengeance. So who you're speaking of that has the belt? Summer has the WWE belt that can only be defended at the Big Four, but he does have a match against Agent McGee, who called him out and said that Roman Reigns was the most overrated wrestler. Of course, we all know Summer is a huge Roman Reigns fan, so they're going to do battle at All Out. And for the fantasy title, our title we've had for years, JR, the eight-month-long reign of JR, he will be battling Nicholas Dunn or Prince Omega, whatever you want to call him. That's our main event. And, of course, Daryl, DC, Gary Lamb's right-hand man, is going to be battling Gary's former mentor, Andrew Stone. So that should be interesting. Maybe we can maybe Gary gets pulled into this and doesn't like Stone taking on his buddy. But we'll have to stay tuned to that. But anyways, guys, I want to say thank you for being on the Triple Threat podcast tonight. And we'll talk with you guys real soon.
All right. Thanks.
It was a pleasure as always, Trey.
See you guys. Don't forget, guys, if you want your promotion promoted for free on the Georgia Indie Report, just message the Georgia Indie Report. Me or Rodney will get back with you, and we'll try to set something up to help promote your event coming up.
That's all the time we got for you this week on the All Elite Marks podcast. I want to thank Rodney West and Logan Frazier for being on the line with me tonight, and Logan Frazier for reading off the headlines. I want to remind everybody that Chicks Dig Turnbuckles will be back next week. This week, we had some scheduling problems, and we weren't able to do it this week. But we'll be back next week, and we'll hear from Shelby and Katie and see what they like from last week and this week. So until then, guys, please share, like, comment, and listen to it as much as possible. And let's get our downloads up and get our comments up. And thank you for listening.